as the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, and the last sentence in the 5th verse. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Chapter 11, the Gospel of Matthew, and the last sentence in the 5th verse. The greatest mercy that can befall you in journeying on through life is to be brought under the gospel where it is preached by men ordained of God to do so, and for you to be given an ear to hear it, to your soul's profit and peace. Wonderful it is that many of us had the privilege and pleasure to be born in homes where there were those who had already realized the gospel to be the power of God unto salvation in their soul's experience, and that in our bringing up in youthful days we were found under the sound of it. And although with many of us it may be, we had no ear to hear it, no heart to receive it, yet, blessed be God, the day dawned when it could be said, by the grace of God, blessed are your ears, for they hear. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. I want the Lord to help me to look at this subject from three or four viewpoints of it, and first of all, what I judge is very instructive at the setting of it. The opening word in the chapter is, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples," and that was set forth in the preceding chapter, when he sent them forth to preach. "He departed then to teach and to preach in their cities." I make a comment there, for in my long ministerial life, I have had that word, I hope, much on my mind at times, that Jesus began to preach and to teach. And now it is essential that in preaching the gospel, there should be teaching, instruction. Otherwise, they that hear it, how can they grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ? And now that means that those ordained of God to preach it have a very solemn responsibility before God, that as they go forth where God ordained to preach the gospel, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth might speak, and that as they do preach, they also teach. It means a great deal of painful exercise of mind often for those whom God sends forth to preach the gospel and to stand upon Zion's wall. But what a mercy it is, God has guaranteed his divine aid to all his dear servants wherever they labour, as he sends them forth to do his will and what is his work for them to do. And you might call to mind, some of you, as you weigh matters up regarding the dealings of God with your soul, how it came about that you heard the gospel preached for the first time when it was made to you a reality in your soul's experience, when it could be said, in that day the deaf shall hear the words of the book, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and that great miracle of grace was wrought in you, and you heard the gospel and realized it was good tidings of great joy, and you desired from that time on to benefit in your soul's experience and use every opportunity afforded you to be where the gospel is preached, that you might hear it and reduce to practice what you hear. And now in the context, it tells us of John the Baptist. And he was, as I have told you sometimes, one of the most outstanding characters that ever labored on behalf of the Lord is God. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And now, when you think of John the Baptist, who he was, when you think of how he was born, that he was born again when he was born, and that he leaped in his mother's womb as a babe when he heard the name of Jesus. Yes. And then, as he went forth to do that work as the forerunner of Jesus Christ, he had the great honor to baptize Jesus Christ as verily man. And there he saw the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove lighting upon the dear man in Jordan's flood. And he was assured by that indubitable evidence that he was baptized in he who was verily man, yea, and verily God. And God the Father looked down. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And now John the Baptist had a unique work to do. As I said, he was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and he preached the baptism of repentance. And now he was wonderfully faithful in his preaching. And it is essential that men ordained of God to preach should be that. It is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Careless myself, a dying man of dying men's esteem. Happy, O Lord, if thou approve, though all beside condemn. And now John the Baptist did his work like that. He had that deep down concern to be faithful as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And so Herod was offended, and we read that John was in prison. And he had been there over 12 months, incarcerated. And in that long while, it may be, dear John the Baptist had many searchings of heart. Maybe he had many soul temptations too as to why he should be where he was. And as the time went on, he might have wondered whether Jesus Christ had forgotten where he was, which was a thing impossible. But the devil could suggest it. And so he sends two of his disciples. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? This is a beautiful picture. There is much instruction in it. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And this next word is added especially, I believe, that John the Baptist might be comforted, and blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended, margin, stumbled in me. As though Jesus Christ designed that dear John the Baptist should realize, oh, how unsearchable are thy judgments and thy ways past finding out, and that he was not overlooked as to being where he was, but that the dealings of God with him were not in anger, but in his dear covenant love. And most of all, that the work John the Baptist was sent to do was now concluded. There was no more of that work, of that nature, for him to do. Seeing I have read to you that Jesus Christ himself began to teach and to preach in their city. And now the next thing to weigh up is this. When John's disciples returned and gave a description, a record of what they had seen Jesus Christ doing, there is not the shadow of a doubt whatever that John the Baptist realized that the work proclaimed who the worker was, and that he was he that should come, and there was no necessity at all to look for another. And now, in approaching the subject, Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. And now, that is just what you and I so often need. Tell me the story often, for I forget so soon. Yes. And so, God sends forth his dear servants, each one fitted and qualified to do that work God has ordained to do. And every time they seek to preach the gospel wherever their labors are, what do they do but tell the old story of Jesus and his love? Tell how Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. And you may feel, of whom I am chief. And you can argue it out with Paul, and God will not condemn you, but will accept you and Paul too, as each one telling the truth. Although in logic, only one can be chief. But in the things of God, every sinner taught of God is made to realize, as he is led into the truth of his sinnership, sooner or later, of whom I am chief. No sinner needed mercy more that ever sought thy pain. And I have thought, and it has given me sometimes pleasure in pondering it in my heart, that what the dear Saviour instructed John's disciples to do, does it not also at the same time give some intimation of what is the essence of the gospel? The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And now, you might think it strange that the dear Saviour should conclude this word as he did in the text I have read. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And now, dear friends, I just ask you, and you think of it before God, when all is said and done, which is the greatest miracle in this word before us? Is it that the blind receive their sight, or the lame walk, or the lepers are cleansed, or the deaf hear, or the dead are raised up? All these are miracles, outstanding. But the miracle of miracles is that the poor have the gospel preached to them, because that it might be possible for the gospel to be preached and made known as a blessed reality and good tidings of great joy in poor sinners' souls, there was the miracle of miracles, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Yea, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, it is a great mercy, and it is a great miracle too, that the poor have the gospel preached to them. And it is a great mercy that you were born where the gospel is preached. And it is a great miracle that God has given you ears to hear it, a heart to receive it in its blessed reality, and a concern to hoard up the sacred word and feed thereon and grow. Go on to seek to know the Lord and practice what you know. Let us look at the subject now from yet another viewpoint. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Have you noticed, I hope you have, as you have looked through the New Testament especially, and the epistles of Paul more particularly, have you noticed, I say, the varied references to the gospel? It seems as though the Apostle Paul, I know he was inspired by the Spirit of God, but he seems to go out of his way to find illustrations to set forth the gospel, so that he speaks of it sometimes as the gospel of Christ. And that is because Christ is the center and the circumference of it. Christ is the center of the gospel. I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Yes. And then it is called the gospel of God. And that is because God inspired it. God is the author of it. It is a revelation from God, the gospel of God. Then it is called the gospel of the grace of God. And now that is because the grace of God is the motive power in the gospel. As you hear the gospel and delight to listen to it and get good for your soul thereby, you can say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And everyone who hears the gospel with God-given ears to hear it will readily say amen to this declaration. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, it is a beautiful gospel. It is said to be the gospel of the blessed God. And I can assure you this, that if the gospel is made to you powerful in your soul's experience and precious thereto, you will bless God, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You will desire to say, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Yes, it is just another thought. The Apostle Paul speaks of the gospel as the gospel of peace. And now go back to that memorable night. The angels sang in the silent night. And what did they sing about? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Goodwill toward men. And now that peace was the peace of God, flowing from peace with God. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Then it is called the glorious gospel. I like that adjective. And what is it that makes the gospel to be the glorious gospel? Oh, it brings great glory to him whose gospel it is, inasmuch as the gospel declares how God and man can come together on friendly terms. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The glorious gospel. And when those of us who keep trying to preach the gospel get help from God to preach it, and you get help in listening, more and more will you not only admire it, you will appreciate it, and you will desire to give glory to God that the poor have the gospel preached to them. And I might just add this, and it would do you good to think about it as grace is given. The gospel can be said to be the glorious gospel because it is glorious in its suitability to poor sinners in their felt need of what they are as sinners before God. Oh, what amazing words of grace are in the gospel found, suited to every sinner's case who knows his soul's deep wound. Not only so, the gospel is glorious inasmuch that it has a wonderful sufficiency to meet the needs of every poor sinner who desires to hear the gospel and get good for his or her soul in listening to it. The fullness resides in Jesus our head and ever abides to answer our needs. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. Yes, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And I might say this. In the gospel being preached by men ordained of God, you will often find that it is the glorious gospel inasmuch as you listen to it and find how seasonable it is to where you are in your soul's feelings, your type, your circumstances. You will be able to say, often in listening to it, the gospel bears my spirit up. The faithful and unchanging God lays the foundation of my hope in orbs and promises and blood. And there is just another thought, and that is, the glorious gospel is glorious in its simplicity. And I am going to say this, that I wish it could be understood by all who go forth to preach the gospel that it is beautiful and blessed in its simplicity. the gospel, being a revelation from him whose gospel it is glorious in the simplicity of it. Him that cometh unto me, I will never, no, never, no, never cast out. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If any man thirst, said Jesus, let him come unto me and drink. Much might be said along that line of thought. But now, let us look at the subject from another viewpoint. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And I might just add a word that you will not forget what the word of God says concerning those who do preach the gospel and those who have gone out from us to preach it, where they labour week in, week out. Brethren, pray for us. And remember what the Apostle Paul said. And he was outstanding as a preacher of the gospel, and yet he desired the prayer of the people who knew the gospel in the blessed reality of it, and he says in his epistle, pray for us. Yes, continue in instant in prayer. And he says in one epistle, and for me also, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Oh, dear friends, you sit in the pew and listen. You have very little knowledge, and you cannot have it really, of what it is to be in a pulpit and preach what is known as a sermon. To stand before the ever-living God and sinners with never-dying souls, and sometimes to be aware there is one in the assembly listening to the gospel for the last time. And when the Amen concludes the sermon, they will go on their way and ere long will step into eternity. And you are the preacher whom they heard preach the gospel on that occasion. It will give you quite a few persons at heart, and it will cause you to send up many a sigh and cry and groan and desire before God that you may be more obedient than Jonah was. Go and preach the preaching that I bid thee. Yes, that is what you will desire to do. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Then there's just another thought. There is this word that dropped from the lips of Jesus. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And the dear Saviour gave an argument there. And that is, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And mark that word in, laborers. Not just spinning out the time with words put together and that which might be interesting to listen to, but to come inside this scripture, oh how I have longed to come inside it, who will preach the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. That which we have tasted, handled and felt of the good word of life, declare we unto you. Yes. Then preacher and people can walk together in agreement with God. The people get the good, and God gets the glory, and the preacher gets the encouragement and the happiness that he has been used of God, and that he has been made a laborer together with God. And now let us come to the gospel itself. and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Then it might be well to have sure work about the character, because it is only the poor, sinners who have been stripped of all their fancied meekness, to approach the dread I Am. Sinners who realize their utter helplessness in things divine. Sinners of deepest dye, who are so poor that they have to say through sheer necessity, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. It is these characters who are designated the poor. I have had my tears quite a few times when I have been preaching the gospel that some of the people listening are making no reflections on you. Some of the people in listening have not been poor enough to appreciate it, but have got to go deeper down in the knowledge of their undone state in the Adam fall, and to learn yet more earnestly, none but Jesus, none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. You little know, and you cannot know either, what reaction those ordained of God to preach get in some pulpits. Oh, there are some pulpits where you go with willing feet, and you know when you get there that you will realize, because of the people listening to the gospel you desire to preach, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Oh, but sometimes it seems to be otherwise. Alas, that it should be so. And it really comes to this, and this narrows it right down to a bedrock truth. There must be an exercised people in the pew and an exercised preacher in the pulpit, and then things will go well. You will get that word in Jeremiah opened up, and a very blessed experience it is. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and to flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. You find then, when the gospel is preached with such power, that the house of prayer becomes to you the house of God and the gate of heaven, and you can say, Lord, it is good for us to be here. And now let us consider the gospel. I can only give you hints about it. When all is said and done, what is the gospel? It is set forth in the sacred pages, especially in the gospel in the New Testament. And it is well to think of it from this viewpoint. The gospel is the work of Jesus, the finished work, love redeeming work, which he came down into this world to do and did so well. The work of Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Then it is also the word of Jesus. Remember that. It is very simple. It is a summary which you can easily call to mind. The gospel is just the work of Jesus, the words of Jesus, as recorded in the gospel. A word like this: come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And many such like words you will find in the sacred pages, all setting forth the gospel And all on this basis, do remember this, he whose gospel it is does all the giving. And you give me ears to hear and a heart to receive the gospel of nothing to do but receive it and say thank you in your lips and mouth. And of his fullness of all we receive, and grace for grace. Grace to reduce the practice, the gospel, in your everyday life, that men may take knowledge of you, that you have been with Jesus. And so, to preach the gospel is first of all, and I must say, last of all, to do this. I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The gospel tells of a person, and that person is a wonderful person, and you can read of him and see it set forth in words that should be indelible in your soul's experience. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Mark that wording. For unto us a child is born. There you see what was done in Bethlehem's manger long ago, when there was laid therein that holy babe, born a babe by birth mysterious. Yet his shoulders held up heaven and earth when Mary held up him, because while he was there, in his wondrous humanity, as a babe, a holy babe, yet he was also the eternal Son of God in his divine nature. And that is what Isaiah was inspired to record. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. And then Isaiah gives you another lovely word picture of the blessed person set forth in the gospel. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Think again of what is recorded in the Galatians epistles. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his own Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Yes. And as I said earlier on, he came down into this world to do love's redeeming work. And he did it. Blessed be his name. And he said to his Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Then I hope you will remember one word I often quote, and still remember it when I am no longer with you to preach the gospel to you. It is finished, cried the Lord in his dying minute. Holy Ghost, repeat the word, for salvation's in it. Oh, that is the gospel, dear friends, that delights poor sinners' souls, because they have to realize, as having nothing of our own, and yet in all that Jesus Christ is, in all that he has done, yet possessing all things, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And this glorious person of whom the gospel tells, and you find everyone ordained of God to preach, oh, he does delight when he is helped to preach and set forth Jesus Christ. There is a word I like to think of sometimes as I go up in the pulpit. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Oh, I should like to preach the gospel so that you would be able to realize more. To me, Christ is more precious far than life and all its comforts are. And now, there is also not only this person who is the sum and substance of the gospel of Christ, there is the provision of the gospel. And now what does that set forth? First of all, it sets forth that God is approachable. And you must not think that just an elementary statement. You may think, I should think everybody knows that God is approachable, do they? And you who do know it, have you made all the use of that truth that it was possible for you to do? Has there not been too often times when you have been well aware that God was indeed approachable, yet you felt prayerless, and at the ends of the earth afar off from God, and like the woman in the gospel, bowed down by a spirit of infirmity, and can in no wise lift yourself up? It is a great truth to say thank you to God for that. In the gospel it is made plain, he is approachable. What does he say? Remember that he said it. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, there is the throne of grace. Yes, it is a miracle whereby it was set up. What is the basis of it? The basis of it is what was done on Calvary's cross. I can have no access to God but through the merits of Christ's blood. Do remember that. There is also this provision in the gospel. Oh, it tells, in that day there shall be a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. And while the primary fulfillment of that scripture was when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross and his precious sin atoning blood was shed and that fountain was filled thereby, yet it has got another interpretation which is good to think on. There will be a day in your soul's experience, if you are taught of God, when maybe you will have such a revelation of what you are as a sinner before God. You will know from the sole of the foot even to the head there is no soundness in it but wounds and bruises, putrefying sores, and you will feel, can ever God dwell here? Then you will be helped to cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And in that day, you will know there is a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. That rich atoning blood which sprinkled round thy feet provides for all who come to God an all prevailing clean. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Then there is this provision, and that is the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, if you are numbered with the poor the Saviour is referring to, you will be solemnly aware how helpless you are and undone through the Adam fall. And you will have to sigh and cry, naked I come to thee for dress, and helpless look to thee for grace. And then you will find in the gospel there is set forth the righteousness of God, and it is to you who have none of your own wherein to appear before God. If guilt disturb thy peace, for Satan harass thee, behold the Saviour's righteousness which sets the guilty free. And just another thought. In this gospel, you find there are exceeding great and precious promises. And they are indeed suited to every poor sinner's case, whatever his circumstances may be. There is the word of the Lord to inspire that poor sinner to hope in God. Yes, you think of David long ago. Remember the word unto thy servant on which thou hast caused me to hope. And that word was a word in the gospel, which was good tidings of great joy, so it will be to you. And it tells us he is faithful, that promise. His promise is yea and amen, and never was forfeited yet. Oh, much might be said along that line of thought. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And you will call to mind that when Jesus Christ began to preach and to teach, what was his opening word? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, who their native vileness see. They are all thought sins demerit, gladly own salvation free, and from Sinai to the womb of Jesus flee. Yes, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And now when you get home, you sit down in quiet before God and go back over your life as you have lived it, and think on what the gospel has been made to you by the grace of God. Humble yourself under his mighty hand, seeing there are hundreds of millions on this earth who, as yet, have not heard the gospel, know nothing whatever of Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. But you, God has given you an ear to hear the gospel, a heart to receive it, and you seek his divine aid, that by your everyday life you may reduce to practice what you know of it. Approach, ye poor, nor dare refuse the banquet spread for you. Dear Saviour, this is welcome you, that I may venture to you. Amen.
Blessed are the souls that fear and